Let's pray. Father, thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon this word. You've given us something unique in the next 4 weeks. And I thank you, Lord, for just that anointing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, in my hand, I have a brand new, crisp $20 bill. I reached in my pocket looking for $100, and there wasn't any. So I just got a $20 bill. And this $20 bill is worth $20. But let me just show you this. Now, the floor here is really clean. These guys do a really good job vacuuming and preparing. But if I put this $20 bill on the ground, and there's dirt on the ground, dust from everybody walking here, it's going to start collecting dust. If I start stepping on it and crunching on it, there's more dirt. Now, police officers here, is this legal, me stepping on In God We Trust? But so if I pick it up, you know, if I really look at it, I can look at the back here that was laying on the carpet. There's has some dirt on it. But even though it has dirt on it, it's still worth $20. And if I take this $20 bill and I crunch it up, it was crisp and clean. Now it has dirt on it. And now I'm crunching it up. But if I unfold this, now I have a dirty, supposedly dirty $20 bill that's all crunched up. It doesn't look crisp and clean. And I want to say to you that even though it looks the way it does now, it's just gone through what it went through, its worth is still $20. And I want to share with you, some of you think because of the decisions and the problems that you've had in your life and the difficulties you've had in your life that you feel dirty, you feel like you're all scrunched up and just you feel lousy about your past. Your worth has never changed with God. You've always had the same worth. No matter what you've gone through, what you've done, what decisions you've made, you're still worth the same to Father God. And always remember that, because we live in a fallen world. I had put together wanting to plan something to dive into the holidays of November and December. So I wrote this series of messages for October. And while I was in my prayer time, the Holy Spirit really invoked me again to change the series that I've put together. And so the one that I was going to do, we're doing in October of this year. But I want to start a new series with you today. It's called A Way in the Wilderness. A Way in the Wilderness. So turn your Bibles to Isaiah 35, and we're going to be in this chapter, Isaiah 35, for 4 weeks. Isaiah 35 is a messianic chapter. You've heard before of a messianic verse. It's an Old Testament verse that refers to the Messiah. But Isaiah 35 is a messianic chapter. And as I read it, four things hit me. I was journaling, and I read through the Bible every year. And as I was journaling, I was looking at some side scriptures. I went back and I read the whole chapter, and four things hit me, and I wrote them down, and that so became the series of messages I'm giving you. Isaiah is saying it this way. This chapter is telling us this. This is what will happen when the Messiah comes. looking for the Messiah. Now, its whole context, we need to understand the whole chapter. He doesn't say these exact words, but he says, when the Messiah comes, this is what will happen to the nation of Israel. Now, we know, as believers, that we've been engrafted into Israel. So, the title of this series, Away in the Wilderness, if you today are walking through a dry season, He will make a way for you. God is doing unique things. People are seeing miracles. There's a gentleman watching us, probably being released from the hospital today, is that he went into the hospital Thursday morning early, and he was throwing up blood, dark blood, and every aspect of blood was coming out. He went in, they checked his blood, and it was very low. They were about ready to give him blood transfusion. Because of that, it was dropping more. They thought that they may have to go in right away to do something, maybe a bleeding ulcer or something else. And so I texted him, not knowing this was happening. He was in the emergency room. I texted him. I said, "Hey, I just want to, you know, I haven't seen you, talked to you in a week or so. I just want to check on what's going on. You've been on my heart all morning long." He texts me back and tells me what's going on. So I said, "You know, I can't get to you right now, but I'm going to call the prayer team, and I will see you, and I will pray for you." So I went in, and I prayed for him. Every 2 hours, they were checking on the blood, thinking they're going to have to do transfusion or do emergency surgery. They went in about an hour and a half after I went in and prayed for him, and they checked his blood. And for all you doctors and nurses, it was measured 10.9, which is normal. Amen. So they were not as concerned as they were when he first came in. So they kept checking his blood. Same thing, all day, all night. The next day, they went in, down, and to check. And the doctor said, and he might be watching, praise God for God's miracle. But the doctor said, "I went in there and I saw where an ulcer used to be, but it is basically already healed." He said, "I could just see a little marking of that, but it's already healed." And but they're going to keep him an extra day today, release him today, to make sure. I didn't hear anything from him, so nothing happened. Now, in the sense of, yes, I was part of that, but I want you to understand, this is manifesting everywhere. It's going on. It's whether I'm praying, you're believing, or any of that. And we have to understand the miraculous is beginning to happen where I fought. I prayed in tongues for hours to go and pray for people, and I did not see miracles like I'm seeing in the last month or so. It's just happening every time that I'm praying. God is doing something unique, and I'm just telling all of you, we've learned about walking in God's hands. And where he goes, we go. Don't go back to the dead place. And we're learning that. But what I want to show you is that you and I are living in a world that is fallen. And there are many things that are going on, but we need to learn how to walk through this. And bottom line, what we're going to see is that Isaiah 35, we're looking back to the cross. This is for you and me too. And we're looking back to what Jesus already did. And so my premise in this series is to show you those four words out of this chapter that we are going to begin to see what it takes. And I'm going to be just absolutely, I used to coach a lot of baseball and a little bit of hockey. And I always tried to keep everything as simple as it could be. And just bottom line, work on it, do it, but it's simple. Everything is simple. And in that reality, I'm trying to bring you to a place of this huge explosion of the power of God moving through you and with you and around you, and it's very simple. And so this is my premise in that there are four attributes, or we can call them four blessings, that I want you to recognize in the next 4 weeks. Don't miss it. Invite your friends. Bring them. You know, a lot of your neighbors, every time you talk to them, they're talking about all the problems in their life, situations. Bring them to church. Bring them to the women's group. Bring them to the marriage conference, because the Word of God is going forth and miracles are manifesting. Now, even though we are still living in this world that is a wilderness environment, the premise again is we don't have to live a wilderness life. We can live, last series, a garden life. If you remember, it all started in the garden. Adam and Eve walked and talked with God in the cool of the day in the garden. And on resurrection day, the very first thing Jesus did, remember, was walk and talk with Mary in the garden. Now we're looking back to the cross. So Isaiah 35, the blessings have already happened. They just need to be believed and received and practically make it a lifestyle. Isaiah 35, verse 1, let's begin, speaks of Israel. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. Remember that. We've been grafted to the nation of Israel, so what we just read is for you and me too. So in your life, what was dry, what was barren and desert or a wasteland, even a wasteland, is now blossoming abundantly and rejoicing with joy and singing. I'm going to say a word and then you're going to see it in the scriptures I read to you. God planted that. God planted it. And he planted it, and it's still producing today. We'll see in this series, we'll talk geographically, we'll talk historically about Israel, and we'll see how what God planted continues to flourish and take care of Israel and take care of you. Because the Messiah has come. Let's continue verse 2. The glory of Lebanon, well, we've heard Lebanon in the news, shall be given to it the excellence of Carmel and Sharon, names three areas. Today, Lebanon is a country. It wasn't a country then. Lebanon, in that day, Lebanon was a very fruitful place in the northern territory of Canaan land, or the promised land that God gave Israel. So if you've ever been to Israel, I've said this before, it is a garden in the middle of a wilderness. A garden in the middle of the wilderness. Now, it is unbelievable the fruitfulness of Israel. At that day was a garden prepared by God in the wilderness for his people. So I want you to see this now. I know it's introduction, but stay with me. We may be living in a fallen world, But we live in a garden if we follow Jesus. If we follow Jesus. If you walk with him. I didn't say that you look so spiritual. I'm saying in practical ways of your life, you follow Jesus. In the midst of the turmoil of this world. So that day, Lebanon was a garden prepared by God. The garden is beautiful. Your life, wherever your thoughts are regarding your life, is a beautiful garden. It's something that's planned of God, and it's beautiful. Many of us have thoughts, processes of our life, and that the way we are, the way we think, all that, and we think we're worthless. No matter where you're at in your life, in your wilderness, your worth has never changed with God. There's not one thing you can do that could change God's thoughts towards you. So you have to understand this. There needs to be a breaking of this demonic bondage that is in the wilderness of the world. Because in the midst of the garden, we're going to see, I can't wait to get to that. I think it's actually the fourth week, is I'm going to show you, I'm going to take you geographically to places in Israel that there are springs that still today, that God planted, that are still watering the whole area. Coming out of the ground. Lebanon represents a fertile tree or fertile soil. So let me surprise you now with what I just said regarding Lebanon. Psalm 104 verse 16 says, "The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted." I'm telling you, God planted the land of Canaan for his people. And in the same way, God has provided for you a rich and fertile garden for you to live in once you become a believer. That's what Lebanon represents. Carmel actually means a garden land. It's a beautiful, cultivated, plentiful soil. That's what Carmel means. Second Chronicles, I'm going to show you scripture. Everything I tell you, you can try to argue with me, but I'm going to read you scripture to give you proof. Second Chronicles 26 verse 10 speaks of Uzziah. Also he, Uzziah, built towers in the desert wasteland. He dug many wells. God put that water in the desert, for he had much livestock, both in the lowlands and in the plains. He also had farmers and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved the soil that God planted. So again, this is telling us about this wilderness, a place, listen very closely, God himself planted trees and made the soil fertile. Now, I know this is history, geography, but I want you to smile a little bit more. I want you to have greater hope today. I want you to stop looking back at the struggle or looking on today of the struggle you have. Because in the reality, if you really see in a practical way, God planted this fertile soil. God planted these trees. God planted this for Israel, and he planted it for you. You have something very special for you. God had you on his heart when he did this. And it's for you to be able to receive and walk in wherever God takes you in your journey with him. No matter where it is. So in my life, if God has said to me, I want you to go here, I want you to do this, I am pleased to do it because I know wherever I go, I'm following God. I'm walking with Him. There's a garden there for me to enjoy. There's a lot of fruit for me to have in my life. And I don't have to blame so-and-so or what someone did to me anymore. I don't have to live under the bondage of people that speak curse, that live in curse because they don't serve God. I'm a child of God. I'm the Son of the Most High. And I can live in a lifestyle that is fruitful in the midst of a desert. Amen. Amen. He talks about Sharon. Sharon talks about the beauty of the bride of Christ. Song of Solomon 2:1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. This is representation in story of Shunammite woman who represents the bride of Christ. So when you go through all of the history, all of the process of the Old Testament, you're constantly seeing this reality is because of belief in Christ, you have a life of fruitfulness. Here's another scripture that's about the garden or a place of fertility. Isaiah 65:10 says, Sharon shall be a fold of flocks and the valley of Achor, a place for herds to lie down for my people who have sought me. See, God uses words that has deep meaning. So let's begin to dive into this and then let's get really simple. Isaiah 35 verse 3, notice, if you're taking notes, notice hands, knees, and heart. Hands, knees, and heart. Isaiah 35, verse 3, strengthen. Speaking of strength, this is basically the subtitle of today. God will give you strength. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong. Do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. So Isaiah is saying the Messiah will come. We say he has come. And when he does, he will do what we just read. We look back to what God, Jesus, has already done, the Messiah. So when he comes, he's going to bring you strength. Hands represent what you do. Knees represents where you walk. And your heart represents how you think. The transformational thing that God is doing in this miracle season is what you're doing, where you walk, and how you think. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So let me give you now simplistic explanation. I'm still in the introduction. Then we're going to dive into those three words, hands, knees. God's going to strengthen your hands. So let me ask you this. Would it be okay if God strengthens what you're doing? Would it be okay that because your thinking has changed and you begin to realize God has planted a fertile and you're beginning to see God's plan in your life, would it be okay if, I'm going to say it, you become better in what you do? How about, would it be okay if you became more fruitful in what you do? It says he will strengthen your walk with him, and he will strengthen your thinking. Hands, knees, heart. So let me show you now extremely practical ways to strengthen your hands, your knees, and your heart, which will in tune cause you to be fruitful in everything you do. That's the plan of God. That's the heart of God. Oh, Pastor, you know, I mean, we can't just do everything good. I'm saying when you're doing what God's asked you to do and you have vision of what God is asking you to attain, you can become the best at that because God's hand is on your life. You begin to see things differently. I always, when I work with people, especially leaders, I always say one of your most important things in your life is understanding how to honor. How to be honoring. Because honor brings reward. Everything you do, everything that I do because of honor. I don't do it because I have to. I don't do it because I need to. I do it because honor pushes me into the reality of why I do what I do. People have always asked me, a lot of my peers, you know, Pastor, because I've pastored a lot of pastors. Pastor, do you ever get tired of what you do? No. I don't get tired. I get physically tired. I get emotionally tired. My mind sometimes, there's a lot going on, a lot of things to handle. It's not easy when within a month you lose 3 people that you love in death in your church and you do their funerals. It's not easy at all. It's hard. You know, people will look at you and you're speaking the word, the anointing carries you through. Then I go home and I weep. Because these are people that I love, that I spent years with. I've honored them. They've honored me. We've done things. We've seen people saved. We've seen people healed. And we've just had great experience together. But it's this reality. But in order to get there, I'm going to give you the 3 things that I live my life a lot with. Let's talk about hands. Your hands, right away, I'm just going to say it, refer to worship. Refers to worship. If you want to strengthen what you do, you're going to have to become a worshiper and make worship a priority. Aren't we blessed to having our worship team? Isn't it amazing? I would really encourage everybody, if you're going to come and visit us, come early. Get ready to worship because it's amazing. If you want to strengthen what you do, become a worshiper. Nehemiah 8:6 says, "And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, 'Amen, amen,' while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." So let's go to a very simplistic element of worship that I think freaks some people out. I think even today, there might have been someone watching on TV, and the camera pans the congregation, and they see your expressive worship happening, and they're going, they freak out on raising of hands or lifting hands. And they freak out about that in a church. They don't freak out on that at the Dodger game. Right? But some do freak out when they go to church. Now, I used this about 15 years ago here. Yes, I keep notes of my notes. But I want to give you 4 excuses that I've kind of wrote them out. They come in different flavors, but 4 excuses that people give about not raising hands. But I'm going to give you scriptural truth on it. Well, Pastor, I'll lift my hands when I get to heaven. It's not a personality situation. Well, that's just my personality. No, it's not a personality. Because a lot of people have a split personality because they watch the Dodgers. No problem. Psalm 63:4. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift my hands in your name. Don't wait till you go to heaven or wait till you die. While you live, raise your hands to the Lord. They say, Pastor, well, you know, I just lift my heart to God. Okay, well, that's good. Lamentations 3:41 says, let us lift our hearts and hands to God, to heaven. So what I want to say to you, other than Pastor Dan, I'm probably the last person you want to play Bible trivia with. I'll find you a scripture. Or they say, the Bible doesn't specifically tell us to lift our hands in the church. Oh, really? Well, Psalm 134, verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Let's just do that right now. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did that hurt you? Okay, let's go on. Here's excuse number 4. Well, those are Old Testament scriptures. 1 Timothy 2:8. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, I get people's emotions. You know, I get it. You know, I can lift hands easily. And people say, dance, well, you know, you don't want to watch me dance. I'll do the, you know, look like a soldier that heavy legs or whatever. We have to get to a place that the reason why you lift your hands is not because you lift your hands. That's what the Bible says. You're not spiritual if you don't do that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, when I learn gratitude for what God has done for me, I raise my hands. Hallelujah. Look what the Lord has done. Amen? Great gratitude. I will give him the praise he deserves. So if you want to strengthen your walk with God, learn to worship, and as I taught on worship, learn to be expressive. I'm not saying, you know, do a Jericho march or run around or do whatever. I'm just saying be expressive. There are many facets of expressiveness that I, if that's a word, that all you teachers, that I do while I'm standing down here during worship. I lose the whole congregation at times, and I just become expressive, me and God. Or should I say God and me? And I just express my heart to him. Why is that? Because worship, if I want to be strengthened in my life, worship is a number one element that I need to learn, and it's out of gratitude. Here's the second. Are you still with me? All right, knees. Isaiah 35:3 says, and make firm the feeble knees. The knees refer to prayer. If you're not physically able to get on your knees, that doesn't mean you can't pray. But it is specifically talking about bowing your knees to the Lord. 1 Kings 8:54 says, and so it was when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord, that he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. He was praying and he had his hands raised, O Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 in the New Living Translation basically says this, never stop praying. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. So the question again is, how can you be anxious for nothing? The very next part tells us. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, here it is, with thanksgiving, with gratitude, let your requests be made known to God. See, our struggle is this. We think about things. Then we think about things. Then we think about more things. And we hear a sermon, and we give it to God, and we go, here, God, I feel better. But as you're walking away, you go, and we think about it, and we think about it, and we think about it. Well, and we go pick it up again. Because the reality, listen to this. Check your worship lifestyle. Because worship lifestyle causes you with such gratitude and thankfulness that even though it's still there and you think, I'm just waiting on God, it might be still there, but just say, thank you, Lord. And you grab his hand and you walk where he's at. Maybe he's just telling you, leave it alone. That's your past. Let it go. See, that's the key. But you go back into worship. That's what you're going to do. Let me just say this to you. If you literally understand that you're walking with God, you're in his presence. How in the world would you be more concerned about that when you're with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? When you're in the presence of God. See, that's what it's talking about when you're praying. And so this thing about the prayer, you know, yes, we pray. Yes, we pray about things. We pray for our children, our grandchildren. Yes, we pray about our spouses, all the different things. But let me just help you with this. I read a scripture, and I began to look at the words. I like looking at words. And why did you say this word instead of another word? Because, you know, sometimes in scriptures, you'll have the same word 30 times. But three quarters of the times it's translated this word, and the other is translated this word. So did the translators make it wrong? No, no. So Proverbs 16:3 says, notice the word commit. It says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The word commit is the Hebrew word galal, G-A-L-A-L, and it's in the Old Testament 18 times. 11 of 18 times, it's not translated commit. It's translated roll away. Prayer is rolling off the burden. Prayer is rolling off the burden. I'm in a wilderness. I'm in a fallen world. And I see all the junk in this world. I see what's going on. I see attacks. I see all this stuff going on. But God, I'm in your garden that you planted for me. And I'm going to live this life in your garden. But what people have a tendency to do is to keep focused on the wilderness instead of the garden. We have to roll away this concern. Jimmy Evans said this. I love his books. And he said this. If you go in your prayer closet and you come out and still have the burden, you didn't pray, you griped. Because prayer is rolling off the burden. Now, I've said this before. Lord, I can't carry this burden. It's too heavy for me. I'm just going to leave it at your feet. And we look at it, like I just said about 10 minutes ago, and we look at it, and we look at it, and look at it. You are a sheep, and sheep were never designed to carry burdens. You know, you've never heard anybody say this. We're going to go on an African safari, so I'm going to go rent a pack of sheep to carry all my stuff. Sheep were not created to be burden-bearer animals. You're a sheep. You are not designed to carry burdens. See, that's what prayer does. That's how your needs are strengthened, as you get in your prayer closet and you roll it away to the Lord. God, this is yours. And then you focus on the garden. You focus on the plan, what God said to you. Now, I just finished that. Now we're going to go to heart. All right? But what did I just say? There's a word for you. And a lot of times people live in their life never having a word. They have 1,000 words because there are 1,000 opinions on what you need to do. You take 10 people and you ask them, what do you think I should do? How many of you realize, unless they're all believers and really in prayer and hearing the voice of God, you're going to get 10 opinions. You're going to get 10 words. So let's talk about hearts. Isaiah 35:4, say to those who are fearful hearted. What does that mean? In other words, we have such difficulty giving it to the Lord that fear sets in. Then it says, be strong, do not fear. Well, that's easier said than done, but let me give you the practical way. I've given you worship. I've given you prayer, rolling it away. Let's talk about the hearts and a word. Bottom line, this is a passage. This is a part of a whole series I did on being a spiritual father or a spiritual mother or a brother or a sister to someone, helping them grow. Joshua says, be strong and very courageous 7 times. 3 times Moses said it, 3 times God said it, and 1 time the children of Israel said it to Joshua. So let me just show you this so you don't think I'm just telling you a story. Deuteronomy 31:6, Moses says, be strong and of great courage. Deuteronomy 31:7, then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. Deuteronomy 31:23, then he inaugurated Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and of good courage. Notice a word. Joshua 1, God shows up and says, Moses is dead. You're the leader now. Joshua 1:6, be strong and of good courage. Joshua 1:7, be strong and of good courage. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Then Joshua again shares with all of Israel what the Lord said to him. And Joshua 1:17, Israel answered Joshua. They said, just as we heeded Moses in all things, not really, just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you, only be strong and of good courage. This is how to stay strong. Moses is putting a word in Joshua's heart. God is putting a word in Joshua's heart. The people of Israel put a word in Joshua's heart and met all 3 things you fear in your life. following God, taking over for someone else as you lead, or some new thing God has you come to. And then the bottom line, here's the third, and I just want you to hear what I'm about to say, is that you bottom line kick your old self away and you become what God's called you to be. Because who God called you to be is miraculous. Your worth is huge to God. People will look at you and say things and do things, but I want to tell you, when you understand through worship, through prayer, and then begin to get a word from God of what he's saying to you, or from a spiritual father and mother, or from a pastor, be strong and good courage. Don't you dare fear. God's got something greater. You're fearing something, but God's got something for you. Stand strong. Stand strong. Be that beautiful woman. Be that handsome man. Be that person that is rising up in strength of God. That's what God is saying to you. Have a word from the Lord. Whew. So he says, don't worry about it. Roll it away. You're going to win. David told Solomon on his deathbed, watch what he says. 1 Kings 2:2. I go the way of all the earth. In other words, I'm dying. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself the man. Paul told Timothy in the book he wrote, 2 Timothy 2:1. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So how do you be strong? In the grace of Christ. It's not your own strength. Hang on with me. I'm going to simply bring you to the focus of what I just said, what it really means. Zechariah 4:6. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. You get strong by getting the word in your heart. I said earlier, I'm playing words here. I said a word. The word that I give as a pastor, as a spiritual father, is a word, but it's from the word. Because if you have a word from God, it doesn't matter what comes against you. You already have been told by God your future. If you don't have a word, then fear comes in and your thoughts run wild and you keep looking at what you laid before the Lord's feet because you're waiting for him to remove it. Deuteronomy 6:6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Deuteronomy 11:18, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Psalm 119:11, your word have I hidden in my heart. In the New Testament, because some people say, well, that's just the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Ephesians 4:26, be angry and do not sin. Psalm 4:4, be angry and do not sin. See, the New Testament repeated the Old Testament. So don't get into this argument, well, that's not for today, and that might not be for me, and, you know, talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about faith and healing and miracles, and people argue about that. You know, how do people, let me just ask this, okay. I know the answer. I'm being facetious here. But how do people have all the energy to fight against truth all the time? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like, well, what about this? What about this? Someone did that? What about? Stop. The word says this, get a word in your heart. Someone could say to you the opposite. But that doesn't faze you. Why? Because you have a word in your heart. It's yours. There are things that I've watched through the years of my life. God gave me a word took place. God gave me a word, took place. God gave me a word, took place. There are things in my life, God gave me a word decades ago, and I haven't seen it take place yet. But to me, it's going to happen today. Why? Because my relationship with the Lord, as I worship, I raise my hands to the Lord, oh, I'm in prayer, but my prayer isn't griping. My prayer is, God, you said this, I'm going to trust in you, tell me what do you want me to do with that. And I listen. My prayer life is more listening than talking. Because I want to hear God. How many of you want to hear God? Yeah. Well, just listen. He's talking. He's talking. So strength comes to the man or the woman who meditates on the word day and night. Those people never seem to walk in weakness. The man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, but he walks uprightly, meditating on the word of God, he will have good success. It's stated over and over and over. So let me close with one last passage of scripture today. Did you get anything out of this? Come on, folks. This is the simplistic way for you to break through. It is. Ever wake up in the middle of the night and start thinking of something and can't go back to sleep? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, because you're a sheep. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Green, not dead. Stop going back to the tomb. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, your mind, your will, and emotions. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. By the time you read that and recognize on what that is, from worship to prayer, rolling off, and then reading that, fear should be dismissed. Matter of fact, some of you fear just got kicked out of your life right then. Amen? Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. How long is forever? That thing that's sitting over there, let it sit. Because, you know, God sees it. Matter of fact, there's a bowl in heaven that has the prayers of the believers. It's constantly before the Lord. Amen. All right, God, here you go. Where we're going now. Come on, Dad, let's go where you want to go. It's not, you know, Daddy going, okay, son, where would you like to go? What do you want to eat? McDonald's, Wendy's, you know? No. God, where are we going? Holy Spirit will show you. He will. MacArthur said, oh, no, I won't say that. Anyways. I love history. So here's a simple guidance. Let's go ahead and stand. You want strength in your life to handle anything and everything you'll ever face. Simple guidance. Worship. pray. Roll that off. And read the word. Simplistic. And when you do that, every one of you, everyone watching online, everyone that is leading something, you own a business, you run a business, you're a supervisor, a CEO, you're a laborer, whatever you do, a teacher, whatever you do, there's your answer. You want to handle everything in your life? There's your answer. It's simple. In Jesus' name, I proclaim a blessing over this house. I proclaim a blessing over everyone that is watching online. In Jesus' name, blessings, blessings, blessings. Let us see the simplistic way of walking in strength. And the very reason why we have this is because Jesus has already come. Thank you, Jesus, for all you're doing in all of our lives. And we pray this in that wonderful name. Everyone say their name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Sign up for all the meetings. God bless you.